TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop, we've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
General trajectory, his level of participation, and the quality of his participation over the course of the week would be the greatest indicator. I think time will tell. There were so many unknowns last week because it just is lack of work during the course of the week. I think that there'll be less unknowns regarding that topic, and that's what makes this week an encouraging one, and that's why we're hopeful.
Yeah, hopeful, and we'll start with great optimism. Time will tell. I mean, these are buzzwords and things people say when someone's sick, let's say, for example, and you want to just maintain a positive attitude and mindset. And you say things like that. Like you want to think the best and not, you know, think the worst and not anticipate the worst. I just feel like listening to Tomlin today on Aaron Rodgers was a lot different from his bold talk and bravado after the game on Sunday. After the game Sunday, he just flat out said, I anticipate he's going to play against the Bills. Now he's telling us he's going to be limited at the beginning of the week again.
He also sidestepped a question about safety. Like he was asked.
Oh, do tell.
Straight. You didn't hear that?
No, but please.
He was just asked straight away, is it about safety for him? And he kind of was just like, yeah, it's about everything. It's about the entire holistic approach to his wrist.
We still don't know. As of 3 o'clock here on Tuesday, if Aaron Rodgers was just told by team doctors that he couldn't play on Sunday, we really still have no idea on how this really went down. And I think it's a two-part thing. I don't know if, well, I'll just be honest, I don't think the media has asked direct enough questions about it, both after the game Sunday and today, where they've given Tomlin some outs and some wiggle room. And I also think that Tomlin is being deliberately coy here because of who he's talking about. And it makes me think that what Schefter said at this exact time last week is true. That Rodgers, even though it's a league that demands transparency on injuries for sports betting purposes, is very sensitive about information getting out and how much gets out and how it gets out about his injuries, that it puts Tomlin in a little bit of a blender when it comes to talking about the injuries. Because he knows that a misstep can create some friction between him and his prickly quarterback. And to this point, it's been, you know, pretty much a love-in between the two guys thus far. They've been in first place pretty much the whole year. They've had some like success in terms of like, yes, Rodgers has some temper tantrums on the field, but he hasn't thrown Tomlin under the bus yet or anything like that. So we're almost at Thanksgiving and, you know, there's really no trouble in paradise yet between these two. But I think Tomlin knows when it comes to injuries with Aaron Rodgers, Chris, that those landmines are out there. And so that's how you get more than ever these very convoluted sounding press conferences when it comes to his quarterback's health, whereas he just comes flat out and says, yeah, Derek Harmon's not playing. I know this wasn't even on your radar whatsoever. We probably could have lied all week and said there was a chance for him to play because nobody really saw the injury and there was no like big, you know, story or highlight about it, but he just said, yeah, he's out. There's way more gray area with Rodgers, and I think that's not just like a gamesmanship thing. I think Tomlin knows he's dealing with kind of a different dude.
What right does Rodgers have to flout or in any way misdirect the NFL's injury rules? Why should he be special? If the NFL thinks...
Well, the Ravens did it with Lamar Jackson, so...
Well, he's got another... He's like an operation board now. Have you seen that? Now he's got a toe injury. You didn't check
really?
That? Yeah, he's got
What's
a toe,
next? Quad,
a knee, a hamstring.
Thigh?
Water on the knee.
Calf?
Operation. Yeah, he's... Eventually, Lamar's entire body will be injured. I mean...
Liz Frank?
The Patriots did it with Brady, where I think when the probable designation existed, Tom Brady was probable with a knee.
No, shoulder. Every
shoulder.
Week.
His shoulder every single week of his career. But, like, seriously, yep. Rodgers wants his privacy. What right does he have?
He plays a public sport where it's a $20 billion league and they
people
have
gamble
hundreds
it.
Of millions, if not billions, also invested in legalized sports gambling. That's regulated
okay,
now.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Why should he be any special case here?
You know, speaking of the line, a lot of people think the line has it baked in that he's
playing
50-50 to play.
Oh, because it's 4.5.
Yeah, and they think it'd be closer to even if they knew he
he's
was
not,
playing.
He's not worth 4 points over Mason Rudolph to make it that close. I disagree with that.
Really? After watching, you gave Rudolph a D- and said that they probably would have won the game.
When's
there
the last time Rodgers played a good game? Like an objectively very good game where he was like driving the bus
to
victory.
The Bengals game and they lost.
Okay. So that was over a month ago.
Yeah.
All right. I point stands here. I think Mike is being more cautious and I guess my takeaway just to say something a little bit different is I think it is very much a possibility now that it's not just that Rodgers doesn't want his injury status out there or wants this overwhelming notion of privacy to apply only to him. I think it really might be a thing that he's more hurt than previously thought and that he even realizes he's more hurt than previously thought.
Here's Tomlin on the doctors regarding that.
I think first and foremost, you lean on the advice of the medical experts. You know, I'm not going to take his competitive spirit and his will to compete as a negative. Those are positives. It's our job as leaders to exercise appropriate precaution. And first and foremost, for me, are the opinions of the medical staff.
Precaution is the word he throws around there. Like, the way it got reported by Jay Glazer on Sunday, who's BFFs with Tomlin, and what he said after the game Sunday would have made you think that he was going to get out there up there today and paint a much rosier picture about Aaron Rodgers. Like, yep, we were precautious. We took an extra week with him. All right, we didn't win the game. It's an NFC game. It's not the end of the world. But guess what? That extra week put us in a great spot for Aaron Rodgers to return and play this Sunday.
I guess
didn't say that.
If it's a break, though, I mean, don't most broken bones like that, even like little hairline fractures that don't require surgery, don't they take a while to heal? And if it's not fully, you know what I mean?
I don't know. We might have to get Dr. Chow back on to talk
one of those,
about that.
Like,
lady from Steelers Depot who got mad at me that one time.
You know how it's like you can't be mostly healed with a broken wrist, just like you can't be half pregnant kind of deal. Like it either is broken still and is like a hazard to him to play or it's not. I don't feel like there's a ton of middle ground. Like it's not a tweaked or a sprained ankle like DK Metcalf, like that. It's not soft tissue.
I also think Tomlin, and this is probably, again, on his part, deliberately done. I also think he talks out of both sides of his mouth with the Rodgers injury. You've got him saying things like, oh, he's a veteran quarterback. He doesn't need practice. He doesn't need that much practice. He's done this for 2 decades. Doesn't need to show me in practice that he can play. But then when he gets asked about why Rodgers didn't play in the game, he also like cites like limited practice participation and not being like, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So which one is it? Does he need the practice or does he not need the practice? Here he is on that.
What he needs and what others might need are certainly different topics of conversation, but we don't focus on bare minimum in terms of what he needs. Our goal is to proceed with caution appropriately while at the same time giving him all the work that we can afford to give him. And so we're just certainly going to live that day by day. He clocks in and visit with Gabe and the training staff every morning, and we kind of build a plan from there.
I don't know, man. Does proceed with caution make you think that he's a slam dunk to play in this game?
It doesn't. No, proceed with caution.
We're going to proceed with caution.
Proceed with caution means like this is still a very much up in the air situation. That's how I interpret that phrasing from him. And there is an obvious change in demeanor, tone, and level of confidence from after the game till, because after the game, he's emotional. And you know what? I wouldn't blame him after the game. He's like, yeah, I expect him to play because he had just watched Mason Rudolph lay a giant turd on the Soldier Field turf, and he's kind of willing it into existence. But regardless of how...
Man, you thought that was a turd game, huh?
Regardless of how we view Mike's Tuesday pressers, he always is talking in those with the benefit of, like, what, 36 hours for his emotions to come down. Yes, I thought Mason sucked. He sucked. They made it worse for him.
I'm not going to turn myself into Kabali, but I don't know if I would go as far as to say it was a turd game.
He missed Roman Wilson badly, and on the same play he missed, he underthrew Metcalf for an interception.
Yeah.
He threw the ball. He did a Trubisky special to Roman Wilson, and do you want to know what the worst part about that Roman Wilson overthrow was? He had Metcalf on the kind of play that Metcalf scored on in Ireland, basically, like a deep, deep crosser like that.
Yeah.
And he didn't see him or didn't throw the ball. And if he puts it on target, Metcalf might score, but he at least gets like 35, 40 yards.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I think he played a very up and down game. I thought there were good moments, and I think more to your point, there were some really, really bad
especially
ones in
late
there
in the, I wait second halves for quarterbacks, second halves more, I think, like heavily than I do first halves if all things are equal, like if the game's not a blowout. I thought his second half was much worse.
I mean,
than
he
his
had a great 7-minute drive there in the fourth quarter.
The
that
problem
was
it kind of
a really good touchdown.
The problem
throw.
Was it probably needed to be more like a 4.5-minute drive because they were
well,
battling
they're not allowed
the clock
to do that
bit.
Though because they don't take shots over the middle of the field and they don't go downfield.
Well, you know what? I'm sort of wondering if this was Tomlin covering his ass or if he really was annoyed, and I would have to go back and look at every individual play. He did acknowledge that there are chances that they are leaving out there in the middle of the field.
Oh, we'll hear that coming up next. We'll get to that.
Sorry about that.
Donnie, do you think that...
False start by me.
Do you think Rodgers is a slam dunk to play? I think Tomlin's saying a different tune today, big time.
Yeah, I think it is right around 50-50. Like it almost. In
I think
a way,
he backtracked big time from Sunday.
Like it sounds less likely now than it did. I mean, it sounds less likely, or it sounded less likely to me today than it did last week
at this time.
Black Friday, more like Black Friday. Yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Why has it been a struggle to, you know, generate plays vertically in the passing game?
You know, a lot of it's got to do with schemes that people deploy. But we also could be certainly better in that area. If you're speaking specifically to last Sunday, I thought the deep ball has always been an asset of Mason Rudolph's game. But it wasn't necessarily so last Sunday. We had some plays to be made down the grass that we didn't take advantage of. Second play of the game, he left a ball a little bit short versus DK. We had Roman down the grass and the ball sailed out of bounds, just as a couple of examples of that. And so, you know, we acknowledge that and we'll go back to work and keep pressing.
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. So that's right. I mean, they did miss out on some downfield big chunk plays against the Bears because of Mason Rudolph's struggles. I didn't think that the Metcalf ball, the interception, was as bad of a play as some others did. I think Metcalf could have done more there. But the bigger problem is he doesn't throw the ball and try to hit Metcalf in stride. He went for a jump ball, which is not Metcalf's strength. And then the Wilson play was just a bad, I mean, he had a couple Wilson misses. The one where he had to basically break up an interception. The follow-up question there is, okay, we get it. Like, you try go balls and they didn't work. J.J. Watt brought that up. Why are there downfield passing plays, though, only of the go ball variety? That's the issue.
Where's the nuance?
Where are the post routes? Where are the deep in routes?
The layered stuff that's 10 to 20 yards? Where's the stuff Mason's actually shown and you've allowed him to show in the past that he can do?
Matthew Stafford is throwing no-look passes to the middle of the field, 15 to 20 yards downfield. He is a borderline Hall of Fame quarterback. I'm not saying, hey, let's have Mason Rudolph execute or Aaron Rodgers execute plays like that. But there's got to be something in the middle. There's got to be some in between these extremes.
Mason Rudolph has thrown those passes before. You don't even have to use a guy who's got one of the best arms in the last 20 years or so as an example. Mason has done this when given the chance. When Mike has been, I guess from a proof of concept standpoint, more believing in his quarterback, we've seen the guy actually hit some of those throws. He hit like a nice against the Bengals. The Bengals defense sucks. Bears defense sucks too. So I don't even know why I'm giving them that. I'm not. He hit a nice layered ball on a deep out that was a good route concept to Roman Wilson. It was an on-time throw. The ball probably traveled close to 20 yards in the air. It was like a good intermediate attack route. He did throw one to Skowronek in this game that looked fine. They schemed up something decent that got him free, and he got the ball there when it was supposed to be there. The head coach, I maintain, just goes back and like the devil on his shoulder that says turnovers happen in the middle of the field, just keeps winning out over the better angels of his nature.
Promise calls. Let's get to him. Here's Leslie in Elwood City. Hello, Leslie.
Hey, how you doing today?
Hey, Leslie. Good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you, too. I want to say, first of all, shout out to all the YouTubers, because they are great. And I also want to tell you that I love your show, but I really disagree with your takes on Tomlin.
Go ahead. Tell us why.
All right. Well, I feel like he really is a good coach. Look what he had to work with over the last 8 years, is it? You know, he's had Duck Hodges. He's had Trubisky, he's had Fields, he's had Russell Wilson, and yet he somehow managed to keep a winning record.
Don't you think he has a big hand, Leslie, in who they bring in as the quarterback, though? He does. I say that rhetorically because he does.
Hand, but I think that you guys might give him too much credit for having all of the hands in who comes through here. Like, I agree that ownership is to blame for some of what's happening right now, but I disagree for different reasons. Like, I think that they brought players in who were supposed to be difference makers and were paying out all this money to our defense, and players are not performing. They're missing the assignment.
Do you think that Mike, though, so wait, if the players that they bring in on defense, do you agree that Mike, that that's his side of the ball and he pretty much runs it?
I do agree that it's his side of the ball. I think that you guys phrased it before, like it's like a menu, and he gives Terrell Austin
a menu. Wants a play called, Leslie, Pony and I have heard this from many people who are in closer to the team than we are. If he wants something called on game day, he gets it called. So he's got, and we're going to talk about this later, former players of his are killing their defense, and not for the players being bad. They're saying the scheme is awful. Like, right now, guys who played for Mike Tomlin are crushing their scheme and saying their scheme is the problem, not necessarily the guys running it.
There's a chance that they don't understand the scheme, because that's what it looks like to me. It looks like they're really confused, and one minute it looks like they get it, and it was
But they already simplified it once. I don't know how they could simplify it anymore. I'm led to believe that the scheme just is not that good.
Leslie, bottom line for me is you're saying essentially that not winning a playoff game for 8 going on 9 years is understandable and excusable.
It only because of what he's been given. I feel like
been
I've
given,
given him a get
Leslie.
Out
so
hard.
He okay, but he was so he was given Aaron Rodgers. He was given Russell Wilson.
He was given Kenny Pickett this past Sunday, and he still kept the game close. Like, Mason Rudolph, are you kidding me? I used to be a Mason Rudolph fan. Like, I really like the guy.
So he gets credit for close losses now? That's what we're doing in almost 20 years. He gets a pat on the back from Leslie in Elwood City for a close loss? He gets moral victories. You're giving him moral victories now.
He had a backup quarterback.
Leslie, I also think it's weirdly almost offensive to Mike to suggest that after 20 years in this job, he doesn't have very close to full veto power and final say over most roster decisions.
Let's say if you wanted to, let's say you agreed with Leslie, and I'm being fair and giving people a chance to talk. Let's say you agree with Leslie, and the offense is not his purview, and he gets given these quarterbacks, and he's got to make chicken salad out of chicken you-know-what, okay? How do you explain the defense? They're 20th in points scored. It's $160 to $170 million investment. They're the lowest-rated pass defense in the entire league. How does anybody reconcile that?
It's Terrell Austin's fault.
And he was just given Terrell Austin. Art said, this man went to Pitt and is from Farrell, Pennsylvania. He's a local guy here. Make it work.
Well, I think he would dispute that and say, I'm from Sharon, Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah, not Farrell?
That's a big rivalry, Chalooch.
My bad. Here's Michelle in Derry. Let's see if she agrees with Leslie. Hello, Michelle.
Hi.
Hi.
I do not agree with her. I think Tomlin is washed up. I think in the beginning he was good. We are the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I bleed black and gold. But I think a lot of it has to do with Tomlin. Maybe he don't care anymore, or he can't get the play straight. I mean, I'd rather watch Pitt than the Steelers.
Well, Pitt's playing in a game that I think is a bigger game this week. I don't think Mike has changed that much on his defense over the years. I think it's a pretty like blasé scheme. I don't think he's at the cutting edge,
for
example.
Well, that's not good if you run the same thing.
I don't think he's
almost 20 years.
He always talks about how
no evolution, no adaptation.
Well, he always likes to talk about how he takes that bye week to look globally at trends, and then the implication is, well, he and his staff come up with their own tweaks to what they do based on.
Oh, he loves
trends.
Those global.
Oh God, does he just love to study the league at 30,000 feet? And then you hear people who actually talk about defense. If you listen to any podcasts or watch any like videos of people talking, and they don't talk about Mike being an innovator. You know who the Mike is that's the innovator, apparently? Mike McDonald in Seattle is the big defensive innovator. Mike runs cover 3 against 4 verts and gets torched. And when he gets asked about that exact play, perfectly fair question from schematic Chris Carter, Mike says, I'm not telling you how the sausage is made, but great question.
Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia. Visit them, southhillskia.net. All right, so we have two members of our burgeoning, growing female diehard Steeler audience who disagree on Mike Tomlin. How about you? Called a mediocre Mike at the start of the show. You think it's too harsh? I got people on Twitter telling me that's actually a great record without Ben Roethlisberger.
Would you like to call him Wade Tomlin or Mike Phillips? What would roll off the tongue?
I got
better?
People on Twitter telling me that's disrespectful. That's actually an incredible job. Post.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. at DSW stores or DSW.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Ben.
Hey, numbers do not tell his story, although his numbers are special. I think that's a guy with 1,000 or so career catches. But man, if you were around him, if you were in stadiums with him, if you were a member of his team or an opposing player, you understood what playing with and against Hines Ward was about. He was a football player first, a wide receiver second. To be quite honest with you, he was an offensive perimeter bully. And I say that in a complimentary way. To me, he's a legendary player in his generation because of the way that he played, the amount of respect that he carried when he didn't have the ball in his hands, when it wasn't even a pass, is stuff of legend.
It's time for Donnie Football's Tomlin Tidbit. Mike Tomlin filibusters for almost a half hour every Tuesday, and Donnie pulls out the number one interesting thing to him. On Fridays, Donnie hosts with Joe. It's called the Donnie Football Friday, and Joe tomorrow will have his Starkey Card of the Week from Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon on the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Maybe it will be in honor of Hines Ward, some kind of Hines Ward-related card that would make sense given the lack of maybe topical Pittsburgh sports options there are other than Hines Ward. Donnie?
Yeah, and we may get more into the 26 modern-day Pro Football Hall of Fame semifinalists in the next hour, but that was Mike Tomlin at the very end of the press conference today, and it was a Waynesburg grad, Riley Holsinger, who snuck that question in at the gun after Burt Lawton gave his patented anyone else.
Any chance that somebody on the Steelers PR staff nudged the broad strokes media there to ask Mike
because
about that?
Because Tomlin was smiling before that question even came out.
I didn't even see the video. I was watching it. I had YouTube on my phone, but I was doing other stuff, so I was like just multitasking. So I didn't actually watch Mike's face. That his initial tone reeked to me of somebody quietly saying, "Hey, if somebody can ask Mike this at the end of the press conference, he'd love to sound off on Hines."
Now, how do you think that works in that room? Because it's not as, I mean, of all people to ask him that, he's probably the youngest person in there.
Maybe he felt like that's
like 23 years old.
Maybe he felt like that's a safe place for him to really dip his toe in there a little bit more and ask a question that's going to build a little rapport with the coach.
Tomlin's going to give him a good answer.
He's going to get a good answer. It's going to maybe build, this sounds ridiculous, it's going to build his confidence to maybe ask more questions. Yeah. I'm not saying that this definitely happened. I could see Burt even telling Riley, "Hey, why don't you, at the end of the presser, if you don't,
hey youngster,
why don't you ask him about Hines Ward and him moving on to the next round of
Mike would, you know, really appreciate
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Mike probably will give you something good.
I'll give you the anyone else, and then you sneak that baby in.
I'm not saying that did happen. I'm saying I think there's a chance it could have happened that way.
I don't think it did, but.
So this, like, I get up on my soapbox about this, or I don't even remember. I think I've probably changed my mind about Hines. The case Mike basically made there, though, like the case beyond the numbers, has always been very compelling.
Did you think
compelling.
It was persuasive?
It's always been very compelling to me for a couple of reasons. Hines becomes a full-time wide receiver starter in year two for the Steelers. But you will recall, he was full-time starter on a team whose offense was completely ass that year and continued to mostly be ass the next year. If you go from 01, and it's an arbitrary cutoff, I'll admit, by me, to 09, a nine-season stretch, he averaged 85 catches, about 1,050 yards, and 7.5 touchdowns a year. And also was a violent, bordering on sociopathic blocker for a team that wanted to run the ball a lot. And I think when we judge tight ends who are great, we are mostly looking at, were you a great pass catcher? But when everyone talks about the, I think, widely acknowledged now greatest ever to play the position, Gronk, one thing that prominently gets brought up is he was a big boy tight end who could take on blockers or edge rushers and move people. Okay, Hines isn't 265 pounds. Ask Keith Rivers how it felt to get hit and blocked by Hines Ward.
That's actually a good point. If Hines Ward, I mean, he lined up at wide receiver and not tight end, but if he were classified as a tight end, he'd be a slam dunk to make the Hall of Fame.
Because you'd say his blocking was awesome.
Not only were the numbers good, but he was also great at the blocking part of it. I do appreciate, look, everyone has said he's the best blocking wide receiver of all time, which I don't really think outside of Pittsburgh people really care about. I just don't. I don't think it's like enough of a...
But the weird thing is on a highlight show, if you watch a guy make a long run now and a sure. wide receiver holds a block downfield to spring it,
yeah.
any former player is going to be like, and what a great effort by so-and-so.
That's why I was just going to say, Tomlin pretty much pointing out that unlike some other wide receivers, cough, cough, George Pickens, when they know they're not getting the ball, they have a tendency to sometimes to loaf and go through the motions. In fact, I was just talking to Florio about this the other day. He was at a Ravens-Vikings game, and he said it was during Moss's very mercurial chapter in his Vikings career.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike said, as a fan in the crowd, I could tell the plays where he thought he was getting the ball and not getting the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You never had to worry about that with Hines because he was just as into putting a corner or a linebacker or a safety on his ass as he was catching the ball and scoring a touchdown. And I do think that's a great testament to a player. And that is why, like, the essence of the Hall of Fame committee is to have these kind of discussions and debates and conversations and not just blindly say, well, this guy has better numbers than this guy, therefore he's better and has to go into the Hall of Fame ahead of him. Like, you're supposed to take into account everything there is to say about the football player beyond just
the stats,
the catches and yards and touchdowns and things like
that. I would say something else about Hines. I know that the numbers are not eye-popping. 6,000-plus yard seasons. And I think he had 1,000-odd catches. Mike, I think you know he had 1,000 on the number because his last one was for negative 3 yards to make sure he got to
and
the number.
And you forced
and
that.
And you forced it to happen. Whatever. I don't care. That's fine. He was also very, very sure-handed. Very reliable. Very. If I went and looked up his drops, if Football Reference is even charting stuff like that, I bet you he would have one of the lower drop rates in the NFL. I felt like
one of the most dependable
wide receivers ever. If he got the ball thrown to him, you could pretty much reliably assume he was going to catch the ball.
Yeah.
He is a funny case, though, for this, because Football Reference has a very useful tool where they have this similar players thing, right, through each year of the career.
Yeah.
For his career, he is listed as being similar to 10 other players.
Yeah.
Four of whom are Hall of Famers.
Who are the six that aren't?
The four who are Biletnikoff, Charlie Joyner, Andre Johnson, Chris Carter. Five is going to be Larry Fitzgerald when he goes in officially. Uh-huh. The guys who are not, Keenan McCardell, Derek Mason, Harold Jackson, Anquan Boldin, and Henry Ellard. But like, if you're similar enough to 5 out of 10, because I think outside of Pittsburgh, people almost mock his candidacy.
I think they do too. You're right.
But a pretty dispassionate website that really traffics in the stats and
says
not
he's
the,
right on
yeah,
the border.
Says he's right. Like he's a coin flip guy.
Donnie, were you the one that said, and even though you didn't watch this guy play, I think you're basing it on the opinions of others who did. Was it you that said you'd take Hines Ward over Lynn Swann?
Yeah, I would take Hines over Lynn Swann.
Okay.
The problem is, like, for one game, if it's like a Super Bowl, Lynn Swann's liable to go out there and have four catches for 170 yards.
I mean, Hines also, yeah, Hines also had a nice little Super Bowl.
No, I know.
It's also wild to me. Now, this is a case of, I don't know, I think Terry McLaurin's actually a pretty good example. I mean, we bring up how bad his quarterbacks have been before Daniels.
Yep.
But we've seen plenty. I mean, we've seen guys do this before. I do think it's wild that probably his two best seasons, 02 and 03, his quarterback was Tommy friggin' Maddox.
But that was like the most pass-happy offense he played in, maybe.
But it's not as if, oh, this guy got Big Ben for his entire career. He put up really good great numbers with guys who were has-beens in the league.
Let me ask another question. How much better would his numbers look if he had played most of his career with Peyton Manning?
Yeah, like if, you know, or if he was on the Patriots with Reggie Wayne switch
spot. Or if he was on the Patriots with Brady, where you know Belichick would never have wanted to cut him because he blocked like an SOB.
I actually, in that respect, I know that Belichick's much maligned here, as he should be. But I think if you asked Belichick if Hines Ward is a Hall of Famer, he would say absolutely.
Tomlin
does too. Those are two pretty big advocates to have
for
you.
Don't you think Cowher would say it?
Yes.
Probably has said it. So a Hall of Fame coach, is Belichick will be in when he's, allowed to be in eventually?
Which the North Carolina
that doesn't stop his clock. Yeah.
Which, by the way, now his girlfriend is
suing Pablo Torre. Let me know how that works.
Did you see the pictures of him at her adult cheerleading contest?
Oh, he looked
did
like
you guys
he was
see
in,
that?
Yes, he looked like he was in misery.
I don't know. I just love that so much because it's so relatable. Everybody listening right now who has a girlfriend or wife can relate to being dragged to some kind of event that you had no interest at all in going to, but you're like, screw it. I got to suck it up and do this if I want my wife to
I think the funniest part about it is it's probably more relatable to guys who are in there could be a girl, a woman going to a guy's thing that she doesn't care about. But it's usually people in their 20s who are in the early stages of relationship.
Right.
He's in his mid-70s or whatever doing this.
Yep.
You're supposed to get to your 70s and not have to do this anymore.
You're right. That was a Donnie Football Tomlin tidbit.
Donnie, I'm glad you pulled the Ward quote there. I love a good Hines Ward discussion. That's like a classic Barstool sports talk discussion.
Here is Mac on the fan. Hello, Mac.
Hey, what's up, fellas? What's up? I totally agree with you guys on Hines Ward, man. One of the greatest to do it here in Pittsburgh.
Yep.
My opinion right now on the Mike Tomlin conversation.
Sure.
I really believe that Mike Tomlin he's low-hanging fruit here. It's easy to give him all of the blame. He's the head of the team. I do really believe that his schemes and everything are pretty stale right now. But I really believe that the biggest problem with the team is the owner, Art Rooney. I think that the Steelers lost this season at the trade deadline. When you've seen that they felt like they could win with the personnel that they have, I felt like right there they gave the season up right then and there. But I do believe Mike Tomlin knew that they need another receiver. I mean, you throw Mason Rudolph out there, he's trying to force the ball to Roman Wilson.
Well, how much do you blame him for George Pickens? He said, let's get George Pickens here. I can coach him. I can fix him. I can get him to play by the rules here. And then he dumped him like a bad habit because he figured out, I can't actually control him. And now someone else is.
So if you remember me calling in during the whole George Pickens thing, remember when he had the app hang? I called in whenever, you know, the league was really hard on George Pickens. And my whole take on George Pickens was he knew how good he was here, but he didn't have anybody to really throw him the ball. He's out here with Kenny Pickett and Mitch Trubisky. And it was upsetting me. He was frustrated.
I know, but I think that's true. I think the single person who is most responsible for what George Pickens is doing this year is Dak Prescott, Mac. And I don't think that's deny it. Like, no one could deny that to me, at least.
But Brian Schottenheimer having to run different routes has a lot to do with it, too.
He's a really great receiver. I'm not giving Dak Prescott all the credit for him.
Brian Schottenheimer is also running him on a lot of in-breaking routes, which rarely happened here. And if you're talking about there was no quarterback to throw him the ball, Mike Mike helps pick who the quarterback is going to be for this team. He doesn't have the only say, but he is one of the people making that choice. And so if you think they've had crap quarterbacks since Ben retired, I would agree with you. Mike is a huge part of that selection process.
So I really believe that all the decisions, the final say-so for the decisions has to come through Art Rooney. And look, the big splash that we had this offseason was Mason Rudolph and Aaron Rodgers. When you look at a team like the Baltimore Ravens, look at their big splash.
That's not true. They traded for Jalen Ramsey. They brought in Darius Slay, who had just won the Super Bowl. Their second biggest
Darius
move.
Darius Slay?
Yeah.
Did you just say Darius Slay, man?
I did, but that. But that's Art Rooney's fault?
Isn't Mike a defensive backs coach by nature?
He's standing in the text.
But isn't Mike a defensive backs guy? Wouldn't he be the one vouching for Darius Slay?
So if what you're saying is true, Mike Tomlin is the big problem.
No, the big problem is Art Rooney because he doesn't demand greatness or change from Mike Tomlin ever.
I just disagree with you when you say Art Rooney says sign Darius Slay because he won a Super Bowl. No, that's the coaching staff and front office making that decision. It's not Art Rooney.
I think Art's involved on stuff like Kenny Pickett in that, but I don't think he's like getting down to the granular, sign this 34-year-old player, he's got winning pedigree.
So Omar Khan, he doesn't get in front of the microphone and speak. Mike Tomlin has to go speak for the team.
Sure.
Omar Khan, a lot of these decisions that get made, Mike Tomlin has to be the face of the decisions. But I really do believe that even if they wanted to go another way than what he really wants, he got to take the blame. But when you're talking about the schemes actually on the field, I do believe his schemes are stale. They're stale. He's not doing anything new, and
no
they're
doubt.
Losing.
And I'm going to put you on hold and give you the Pitt Miami tickets. And if you want to say the owner doesn't demand accountability for that, I would agree with you on that. I don't think we're that divergent here in terms as far as our opinions go. I would disagree that Tomlin's low hanging fruit. I think that was probably true if people wanted to like get him out of town in 2011, 2012.
There are people who are saying it's been an 18 or 19 year mistake. I find that to be stuff that should get dismissed without even like really an acknowledgement. But
yes.
Like, if you are starting to come around on the timeline that, frankly, I'll just use myself as an example, a longtime defender of his has been coming around to blaming him, I think that is very reasonable.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday doorbuster deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time doorbuster deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.